want to start a different way, not so different, but I believe this morning that we can start with a quiz. How many folk are good at quizzes? You come to church for a quiz, raise your hand. Amen. We had one person who raised their hand, and I believe he was being funny. Amen. But here's the quiz, and it's real simple. If you are a guest this morning, this is a part where you can just kind of look at the person next to you if they look like they've been here before and see if they get the answer right. Amen. And if they don't, look at me so I know they didn't get it right. What is the mission of our church? Amen. Thank you for the two people who said it. We in the right room today. We exist to glorify God by making more disciples for Jesus Christ. Now let me ask a real easy one. What is the tagline that we say all the time? We believe that a disciple is a person who what? All right. All right, y'all are tired this morning. We say all the time that our picture of a disciple, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, that our picture of a disciple, the vision that we have, the ultimate thing that allows us to see that a person is a disciple of Jesus Christ, or probably better said, a maturing or mature disciple of Jesus Christ, is that that person loves God, loves others, and serves the world. Let me say this, loves God, loves others, and serves the world is more than a statement. And it has to be. And let me explain why we're going where we're going this morning and why I began in the way I began. Because, well, one, you kind of helped me out because you were kind of slow on the response. And while we say this all the time, here's what I have never had a desire for: love God, love others, and serve the world to become for Harvest Christian Fellowship. I never desired for it simply to be a slogan. Something that whenever you talk about your church, you say something like, well, we love God, love others, and we serve the world. And if somebody says to you by looking you square in your face and says, and what's that mean? You say, well, or hold on, I'm going to get back to you. Let me go and, or you really got to come. And as soon as you come, you'll understand. I really want for us to walk away this morning at least understanding and being able to agree that love God, love others, and serve the world is more than just a statement. Now, here's the next statement I want to make, and then you'll understand a bit more where we're going. It's not just the statement, it's the process that we follow to make disciples for Jesus Christ. All right? So in the next several weeks, and by that I mean through the balance of this year, we're going to be talking about what does that look like? Because ultimately, what we have to remember every Sunday morning when we get together, and you've heard me say this before, this thing we do on Sunday morning, as exciting and fulfilling as it may be, as vibrant as it may be, as good as you may feel when you walk away, you need to understand that this is not the end all and be all as it pertains to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That just because I come to church on Sunday morning does not mean I'm getting the thing done. Amen. That I really need to understand that unless and until we can point very clearly and say that we are making more disciples for Jesus Christ, it really doesn't matter how good the praise team sounds. It really doesn't matter how well we might know one another unless and until we can actually see that Meredith Griffin has moved from one place as a disciple to another. I've moved from being an infant to a child, from a child to a young adult, from a young adult to someone who is now mature enough to be a parent, then we are not making disciples for Jesus Christ. And the only reason we're here, believe it or not, the only thing that honors God about our gathering and our going is that we're gathering and going with the express purpose that we are building, making, moving people along the continuum of becoming a mature disciple in Jesus Christ. Can a black man get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And this is the beginning of a sermon series that I really couldn't come up. Y'all can help me, because see how it says right there, sermon series? Yeah, so it was supposed to be something else there, but everything I came up with just didn't resonate. Let me try this one on for y'all. If you nod your heads, I might roll with this one. Trust the process. How y'all like that one?
Amen.
Y'all kind of tired of that? Yeah, okay. Okay. I ain't mad. The Sixers look good. And the Eagles look better. Let me just throw this one in here, then I'll move on. How about them Cowboys? All right. All right. My wife said you're up there to preach, so we're going to move on. Read with me, if you will, and it's about to come there on the screen. Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to begin at verse number 37. When you read these, or when you read these along with us this morning, you'll understand where we get this whole love God, love others, and serve the world. Beginning at verse number 37, chapter 22 of the gospel according to Matthew, it says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God. Definitive, you must love the Lord your God. Not you ought try. Not God is all right if you're not really moving along this way. You must. If I am going to be who God wants me to be, it begins right there with you must. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the prophets' demands are based on these two commandments. And then we go to Matthew chapter 20 and we talk about the fact that Jesus Christ said, listen, that the Gentiles lord their leadership over those that they have charge of, but it's not going to be that way amongst you. But if you desire to be the greatest, you must be the least. If you really want to be first, you got to be last. If you want to be a leader, you must first be a servant. And then he says, you can look at my life, Griffin paraphrase, I, the Son of Man, even I came to serve and not to be served and to give my life as ransom for many. But there's a verse that I want to read, and this will be our jumping off point for the rest of our time together, and I need you to remember this one. So if you have a Bible and you're a Bible highlighter, if you are somebody who in your Bible app has the opportunity to highlight, my encouragement to you is go to Matthew chapter number 4 and look at verse number 19 and highlight it. Now this is Jesus as he meets these men who would become his first disciples. And it says there in verse number 19 of Matthew, Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Come, follow me, depending on your version, and I will make you fishers of men. An invitation that he extends to them. And here's what I need you to understand this morning is also extended to us. And believe it or not, whenever we make the decision that I'm going to begin my life for Jesus Christ, we have accepted this invitation, this challenge, and this charge. And we are now along the process of moving to become mature disciples. A couple of weeks ago, we had a young man stand here and preach his initial sermon. And one of the things that he shared is that that's not just the church's mission, that's my mission. There is no church without us. So it's not the function of Harvest Christian Fellowship, meaning it's not the function of Sunday morning worship service, all by its lonesome, to make disciples. But Meredith Griffin, in every aspect of his life, has the same charge that I will honor God by making more disciples. Hear me, which means I got to be one myself. So Jesus knew that these first followers were beginning a lifelong journey that would change the world. And it's the same with us and those we engage through the fulfillment of our church mission. We are saying to them, come, follow, and watch what Jesus does in your life. Let's read that again. Go back to that verse. Thank you. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Let me read again the verse that we have traditionally here taken. Verse number 37 in Matthew 22, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So we say a disciple loves God, right? That a disciple is somebody who loves God, and we double down on that because we say a disciple isn't just somebody who loves God, but that a disciple is somebody who loves God with everything. That a disciple is somebody who is all in for God. That a disciple is somebody who is sold out for God. So while we say that a disciple loves God, what we have to understand is that it doesn't begin there. So I want to talk for just a moment about the process that leads you to loving somebody. And I hope that anybody in here ever been in love? Anybody in here ever spelled love? Want to be in love, know somebody who's in love, thought you was in love, but it was just heartburn. Anybody know? Right? All right. So, honey, can you stand for just a moment? Amen. Turn around, face the people. I met her in January of 1987, right? 30 years ago. Can I tell you, she looked just like this. I'm sorry. Sit back down. You. Distracting me. Help him, Lord. Here's the point. She attracted me, right? And while there was a part of me that when I saw her in the dim light of the studio at WHOV-FM, I was like, wow. I couldn't really say that I love her. Why? Because I didn't know her. I knew I liked what I saw, but I couldn't say that I loved her. And here's what I need us to understand when we start talking about the journey to becoming a mature disciple. In order for me to begin that journey, it actually does not begin in my heart. It begins in my head. And so as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. We have to first know God before we can love God. And so Jesus says to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, what we need to understand is that the process begins in our head, but it can't stay in our heads. But that's where it begins. Everybody we ever invite to church, it's not a heart process they're going through initially. It's a head process. They begin to measure you up and who you are and whether or not they trust you enough to trust the words that are coming out of your mouth. Everybody who meets Jesus Christ in the pages or the words of the gospel as it is either read, spoken, or lived in front of them, it begins in their head. Because I have to be able to say to myself, I know who he is. Or at least watch, and this is a head thing as well, I have to be curious enough to want to know more. Amen. And curiosity ain't a heart thing. Curiosity is a head thing. Watch, I saw her and I wanted to know more about her. So when we talk about loving God, we need to understand that it begins in our head, but as our heart is engaged in the process or out of sheer curiosity, watch what happens. Jesus meets these men by their boats and he says to them, come. Now think about this, y'all. This is the beginning. Some of you, if I just walked up to you on the street, you don't know me from Jesus. And I said, hey, come follow me. What's your reaction? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Who are you? Right? Some of y'all, as soon as I touch you, you like, you know, you done gotten your stance. You done went back to who you used to be. Used to be. One more time for the Holy Ghost. Used to be. Right? Why? Because you don't know me. And before I can follow you, I either have to have something that speaks to me about you that makes me desire to know more of you. So either it moves from my head to my heart or it stays in my head, and out of sheer curiosity, I follow you. So first we start with know God, and then we move to follow God. Anybody in here, you didn't know enough, but something in your mind said, I know enough to know I want to know more. Right? So what we need to understand is this is how discipleship begins. That we think somebody is coming because, you know what, I need to tell you, we got the best music ministry in Delaware. I need to tell you that we have the best children's ministry. And that's not initially what is the draw. Why? Because I got music on my phone. I can listen to the same music that you are going to sing to me on Sunday. And guess what? The artist is singing it on my phone. My kids are fine. In fact, they got soccer on Sunday, or gymnastics on Sunday, or skeet shooting on Sunday. Right? No. There's something about the gospel and my sharing my life. Jesus gave them an invitation. And whether it was just, who this dude? I'm going to follow just to see what's up with somebody who out the blue looks at me and says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Watch. But he'd already given them evidence. So we move from a desire to know God, our head, to following God. Verse 37, Matthew chapter 22. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. There, Jesus himself, in reciting the Old Testament scripture, says to them, I recognize that the love that you are supposed to have from God is both a love that is in your head and in your heart. God doesn't want just one part of you. God wants all of you. And on the process to becoming a disciple, God understands that he's not necessarily going to get all of you from the beginning. And so we as a church, if we are going to be doing what God told us to do in making disciples, we got to understand that everybody in here is at a different position when it comes to where they are on the discipleship continuum. For some folk, it's still just in my head, but it can't stay there. So watch what Jesus says to them. Jesus says to them, by invitation, come follow me. Follow me. It's an invitation, hear me, not to Bible study. Because too often, the church has made Bible study the second leg in becoming a disciple. So come to service and worship. Come to Bible study and learn. The problem is both of those can keep it in my head. And if you like me, you didn't run across some real smart, stupid people. Or very intelligent, book-read, mind-exploding, big-headed folk with no heart. Well, the policy says, I know, but now the policy got a name and a face. So do you still make it what the policy says? Well, Jesus would say no. Why? Because the letter can kill, but the spirit brings life. So we follow him. Follow me. I'm going somewhere. We say disciples love other people. But it goes like this. First, I desire to know God. Then I follow God. Here's the point. Don't put that next one up yet. When I follow God, it's an invitation from God to be in relationship with him. The piece that we sometimes miss, and watch, I can give you empirical evidence that we miss it. We believe that all I need, that I am changed because I read this. We believe that I am changed because I know God. I know God. I read the word. You ought to see I spend an hour every morning in his word. That's wonderful. But he didn't say go back and read the prophets about me. He invited them to come and walk with him in relationship. So, Pastor, what does that ancient truth have to do with the contemporary believer? We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. That when I believed in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I received in that moment the Holy Spirit as both a guarantee and a pledge, not only that I belong to him, but also of what he intends to do in my life. So it is no different. God expects that we will absolutely engage with him through his word. We need to know it. We need to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against him. But if we would take a lesson from the early church, we know that we need much more than that. We need relationship. Watch. So I could have said, man, you know what? She looks very nice. I really want to know more about her. So let me just start following her around. Right? Some of y'all laugh. Yeah, that's right. That get real creepy on a college campus, right? Let me just follow her around. She at the calf, and she pop up, and she with her people, and I'm just at the table. You know, like, I can see her, and I'm just writing stuff down because I need to know her. Okay, so she like Brussels sprouts, all right? I got that. It looks like pink and green are her favorite colors, okay? I need to write that down. Then, you know, she goes. I ain't talking to her because I don't want to, we don't have a relationship. I just want to know her. right? And so I start following around. Okay, she drives a gray 1984 Chevrolet Chevette. I got that. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put some pink and green flowers on her car. She ain't even going to know it's me because I know her. And then I start seeing who she's hanging out with, so I start rolling up on her friends. Watch this, who also don't know me. You know Doris, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, she seeing anybody? Now, if they're good friends, they say, yeah, she's seeing the captain of the football team. Right? Because I don't know you. Here's the point. I wanted to know more about her. So what did I have to do? I had to establish a relationship with her. So I rolled with like my best lame game at the time. Do you remember the first words I said to you? Hi. Listen, brothers, I'm telling you, that works. I've been married for 26 years. The first thing I said when she looked at me and I looked at her, I said, hi. And here we are. Y'all trying all this other stuff. Hi works. But we started a relationship. We had to walk together. And so now I'm not getting to know her from afar. And it's the same way with us. We become disciples of Jesus Christ in relationship. Hear me. And since Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, my best opportunity to learn and grow in Him in relationship is not to sit down with the Bible open and on my knees praying. I didn't say that's not necessary. But it is to be in relationship with other people who know Him and want to grow in Him. So when I became a believer, it was me and one other guy got baptized on the same day. And while I know him, and he's actually a preacher now himself, I did not go to him and say, yo, we need to roll together and be two ignorant folk who don't know what we don't know and just try to take over this joint. No, I joined myself to someone who knew more than I knew and said, can I walk with you? And we began that kind of relationship. So we know God, we follow God, and that leads to us beginning to grow in God. Now I need to stop for a moment and say this. We need to remember that this is a lifelong process. Amen. Anybody in here been saved 5 minutes? Thank you. I appreciate the Drapers. Let me tell you why. Because if you've been saved 5 years, you've been saved 5 minutes. So actually, everybody should have raised a hand. But you understand what I'm saying. It really doesn't matter how long you've known him. You're still growing.
Amen.
You're still on the journey.
Amen.
I don't care if you have legally changed your middle name to Jesus Christ. You're still on the journey. Because that's why we really can never say that I am a mature disciple. Because when you say it that way, it seems like you have arrived. I am maturing. Watch this. I'm more mature than I was last year. I'm more mature than some others may be. But I need to remind myself that I am always and ever, as long as I get the privilege of growing and knowing him on this side, I am continuing to grow. Why? I am allowing myself to be changed by God. So let me stop for a moment and take you back where we've been already. So now I've been unpacking for you When I say that a disciple is somebody who loves God, loves others, and serves the world, what you need to now hear, because you need to know what is the process that goes into that end picture that I am going to see. A disciple is someone who knows God, or they are following Jesus Christ. Come, follow me. Right? A disciple is then someone who, because they have come to know him and that leads to them following him, they are being changed by him. I'm growing in God, right? If I follow him because I want to know him with my head, I am allowing myself in the going or the following him to be changed by him in my heart. Hear what he said to them. If you come follow me, I will make you. If you will come follow me and be in relationship with me, I will change you. You know how to do some stuff. You're a fisherman. But what I want to do in you and through you is something different. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. I'm going to change you. And that happens in relationship. I can guarantee you there's some people in this sanctuary right now who, before you started walking with Jesus Christ, you could take or leave people. Tell the truth, right? You know, I can take them, I can leave them. I mainly leave them. But as a result of walking with him and understanding that if I'm going to be who he wants me to be, it's got to be more than in my head. It can't just rest here. And that means I have to push outside myself. I start to see people differently. My heart is changed toward them. It doesn't happen in isolation. The change that God does in our heart, we are following Jesus Christ. We're being changed by Jesus Christ. This doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in community. Look at this, and I'm coming to the end. Acts chapter number 2. Beginning at verse number 42, it says, "And they..." They who? The disciples. They who heard the gospel and had a desire to know him, so they followed him. They, them. These folk who were at different places on the continuum of being a maturing disciple in Jesus Christ, they. It says that they, after Jesus has ascended, after the day of Pentecost, that these folk didn't say, you know what, let me get all the scrolls and let me get the DVD of all Jesus' best sermons and let me lock myself in a room and learn about him. They stayed together. Y'all, we mature in community. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common." We got started a bit late this morning, but it was because we had a room filled with people. And whenever we get together, and you'll know it whether you're with me on Wednesday evening or on Sunday morning or someplace else, the first thing I do, even if it's one-on-one, I say, what are we praising the Lord for? Are there any praise reports here in our midst? And praise reports were in abundance this morning. And after many signs and after every praise report, we praise the Lord. And then, are there any prayer requests? Why? Because it's not enough for us to get together. You believe Jesus and I believe Jesus, but when we come together, we pray for what he's about to do. No, I need to know, how you doing? Amen. Is everything all right in your life? Because if it's not, that's what we're here for. Maybe it's something I can do. You need bus money? I got bus money in my pocket right now for you. What is it that you need? They had all things in common. And yes, the next verse talks about them selling all of their possessions so that if anybody had need, but what I need you to see is that they had all things in common. They were together. And it was in that environment that Jesus, by the Spirit of God, was doing many signs and wonders. Folks' lives were changing. And if you get to the end, it says, and because of what folk who weren't part of this community saw going on in this community, that people they used to know didn't know Jesus, couldn't spell Jesus, and may have even hated on Jesus, are now some of his most devoted followers. I'm asking, how can I gain access to that? Watch what they didn't ask. Who preaching this Sunday? Watch what they didn't ask. Is praise team A or B up this week? Watch what they didn't ask. What's going on downstairs? They came for community. Why? Because we have all things in common. And it's as we come together that God grows me, not in isolation. It's important. You can gain knowledge of God in isolation. You can therefore grow, in a sense, in God in isolation. But being truly changed by God does not occur in isolation. So here's a question. Can I become a disciple in isolation apart from community? Excellent. The answer is no. Somebody wrestling with that right now. I can feel it. You wrestling so hard, steam coming off your head. You can't. You can't, because as long as you stay by yourself, there's a part of being a disciple that you're missing out on. I didn't say you aren't a disciple, but remember, I can be many kinds of disciples, right? I can be an infant. The writer of Hebrews says to them, listen, by now, you ought to be teachers. But to your detriment, you need somebody to come in now and teach you again the elementary things of the... It's all right to be an infant. What's it not all right to do? Come on, y'all. Right? It's all right to be... That is not a badge of dishonor unless you desire to stay there and not mature. So you can be an infant, and I can tell you are an infant by the way you behave and by the words you speak. But I don't treat you any different, but what I do is give you what an infant needs. Anybody in here have children? Know somebody got children? Saw a kid on TV. Right? Then you know. You give children what they need according to the stage of development they're at. And that's not a bad thing. It's just what it is. When we had kids and we brought them home from the hospital and they said Rolanda and ML needed to be nursed, I didn't go buy them a steak and say, well, we can put it in the Vitamix and it'll be all right. No, that's not what they needed. I didn't give them a book and say, okay, here you go. Get what it is you need. Why? Because they weren't there. So it's all right to be an infant or a child or a young adult if that's the stage of development you're in. It's not all right to desire to stay there. And if you desire to grow in isolation, you cannot become a matured or more mature disciple. That happens in community. This is a quote from John Wesley. The gospel of Christ knows of no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness. Think about it. With the exception of Philemon, it's hard to come across and the mention of individuals in a text written. Paul wrote a letter to the church at Rome, at Galatia, at Colossae, right? The pastoral epistles to his sons Titus and or Timothy were about their role as pastoral leaders in a church. See, our call to be changed by Christ happens in community. Let me move on. I'm cutting across the field. So after we know God, which means we're following Jesus Christ, after we grow in God, which means we're being changed by Jesus Christ, we then are equipped. Watch, and at every one of these, you're maturing as a disciple. I want infants and children to get all they can about knowing God. You don't know what you don't know. Let's give you what you don't know. Become a follower of him. But as soon as that begins to happen, and I mean like day two, I connect you to other people so that you can begin to grow in God. That means you're being changed by Jesus Christ. How is that happening? Because you are connected to other people. And as you are doing that, you're moving from an infant to a child to now you're a young adult. And now I need to start teaching you what it means to go for God. Meaning that you're on mission for him. Anybody in here who's married, and when you got married, you thought marriage was something, and then you were married a little while longer, and you realized it ain't nothing I thought it was? Stand up for a minute, boo. I mean, pastor. When we got married, real talk, we got married, and we were in it for ourselves. Okay, would you agree with that? You were in it for you.
Yes.
You had a picture of what you thought marriage looked like. I was in it for me.
Yes.
I thought I had a picture of what I thought marriage looked like. But neither of us were in it necessarily for the other person.
That's right.
All right? Thank you. So when she said something I didn't like or did something I didn't like, it was easy for me to get offended and angry. Why? Because this is about me. You ain't meeting my needs. This thing ain't working. We need to go see the pastor so he can tell you to get on point. Right? Y'all laughing, but if we had a dollar for every couple to come in and say, all right, now fix him or fix her, and we like, well, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. But that's what that was. But watch what happens. Remember, when I'm an infant and a child, I'm coming to know him as a follower. I'm moving to grow in him as he's changing me. But when he changes me, he's changed my heart and my mind, that I love him with all my heart, my mind, and my soul. Now I'm ready to go for him. Why? Because I know differently. So now when I look at her as my wife, watch, and it's the most out-of-body experience we as selfish individuals can have. It's not about me. I don't make a decision, y'all. I don't make a decision with a dollar without thinking about, okay, well, now I know that this is coming due right here. And it's going to be a little tight. Man, that pretzel only is like $2 for $1.19. I'm saying, boo, have you paid such and such? Yeah? Okay, so I'm going to grab this pretzel. Right? Y'all are laughing. But watch this. That's the way it happens in my mind. Why? Because now my mission is different. And while an infant and a child, and even from time to time, a young adult might revert to saying, this is about me, somebody who is mature enough to be a parent understands that once I get here, I recognize it's not about me anymore. It's about the mission, whatever that is. And hear me, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, the only reason I exist is to glorify God by making more disciples. So everything I say, it's not about me. I ain't getting fed. So you must be an infant or a child. Because I'm going to tell you, when ML got about 15, bro, this is a pot and this is a pan. Here's the refrigerator. This is the stove. Don't burn my house down. But what you're not going to do is come and say, I'm hungry. The Bible, there's a verse that says, okay, I won't say that. Feed yourself. Now, that's the difference between mamas and daddies, because that's what daddy said. Mama said, you want some pancakes, baby? You want me to get you? I'm like, boo, stop. That brother ain't going to be no good for nobody if he don't learn how to do this for himself. So literally, I'll go downstairs. If she's out of town or somewhere and he's home, I will go downstairs, cook, and you know that stuff waft upstairs, right? Bruh come downstairs ready to slap a napkin around his neck. And he's like, bang, whoever said that. He opens, I mean, literally, he in the kitchen going in pots like, daddy, like, what's up? I'm like, yeah, for real though, you can go right there, and you can go, this is vegan. I didn't think you wanted this, right? Go and get your own. It's the same thing here. I am not ready to be sent out on my own to do the mission until I've been changed enough to understand that the mission is not about me. So we go for God. God sends. He sent forth his word in creation. He sent his son for our salvation. And the Father and Son sent the Holy Spirit for our sanctification. The Trinity sends the church into the world. Why? To make disciples. So here we go. We're near the end. The willingness and desire to be sent by God into the world to serve the world is the culminating mark of a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. When I know it's not about me and God can send me and I won't complain, I know I've advanced beyond infancy. Amen. And childhood. When I don't ask what's in it for me, well, I need you to do this. Well, you ain't recognize me. Sorry, it's not that I didn't want to recognize you, but you kind of let me know that you needed to be recognized in order to do it. Okay, maybe you're not here. Let me stop for a moment. Hang a nail real quick. I know we're after 12 o'clock. Bear with me. Watch this. Even grown folk have a minute. Right? Any grown folk in here that have jumped all the way back to childhood in an instance? Okay. Just, and the rest of y'all just don't want to raise your hand. Because everybody in here, every now and again, you over here, you grown, got kids, somebody do something, and the next thing you know, you kicking and screaming in the middle of the floor. Right. Folk looking at you like, Lord, you have lost your mind. But watch the difference. For a child, that's normal. For a parent, when it happens, what a parent does is gets up off the floor, says, ooh, y'all, I'm so sorry. I just had a minute. That was all about me. Watch, I was all in my flesh right there. You know what? Please forgive me. Children and infants don't do that. So remember, we are sent to serve God's mission in the world. Knowing God leads us to follow God. Growing in God means allowing ourselves to be changed by God. And going for God is a call to serve the world for God. So I hope you see that there's more to love God, love others, and serve the world than just a slogan. Amen. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking a bit deeper, not only about those three aspects, following Christ, being changed by Christ, and being on mission for Christ, but what that will in the coming months look like and mean for us as a local church. I'm going to ask everybody to stand on your feet. I shared with the Wednesdays in the Word group. Y'all, if you're not doing anything on Wednesday nights, we are having a ball in here. It is a very open environment. No question is out of order. We have fun. We laugh. But more than anything else, we allow ourselves to be changed by the Spirit of God in our midst. I shared with them that I'm really excited about what I see God doing here in our local congregation. And we are on the cusp, I believe, in the Spirit.